We've had some moments this morning where I think the Lord would be pleased. Well, I'm sure he's pleased with all of it, but in found it very significant, the children saying what just consciously came into their hearts, and how in Scripture the Lord often says we must come as children, childlike. And I think what comes into the hearts is an honesty and a straightness, which is wonderful. I think as you get older, maybe you try and work out what words are going to come out sometimes, like speaking on a Sunday morning. But in actual fact, I thought it was wonderful. Just the healing. Significant for that young girl that the Lord would have his healing hand upon her life. And the process of healing, in some ways, is a wonderful thing. I can remember back now to being really unwell with a stomach condition for years, persistent stomach condition. And I used to go to everyone who I thought was a really good prayer, very spiritual, very deep, and say, "Which is this condition really?" And I went around everyone. And it continued. The condition continued. And remember asking, coming up for a weekend at the New Year's conference and asking Norman if he'd pray for me, and he kind of came up to me and he got his hand and put it down my shirt down here. So what's he doing? What's going on? And this is in front of a lot of people. Put it down here and he just rested it on my stomach and he prayed for me that I'd be healed. And then the next day I was worse. Sorry, Norman, he's not here. But he said one thing. He said that I will continually pray for you. And then the seed was set there that the Lord continues in his healing. He can touch you just like that, but he can also, by his wonderful spirit, can actually just sow that wonderful seed that just begins that wonderful process of healing. He allows you to, through prayer and the use of, and the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, to almost change the circumstance yourself and how you look at it. And he gives you that wonderful grace which is sufficient to actually go through that process. And even now I can say, "Lord, he touched my frame, my body, but even now I still have that slight weakness." But I know that. But the Lord, I know, is just touched. And I think there's others here that are in the process of it can be physical, it can be mental. There's so many things the Lord has such a gentle touch. I know we often, if you look in Scripture, there is often just a touch, the withered hand, that immediate, and he can do that. But there's something wonderful. I think Dave prayed on about the therapy of it. There's something that he is. He's almost an incredible physiotherapist. That time that he spends with you. I remember chatting to my own mum who was ill with a certain condition, and through the condition she said it was the closest I've ever felt to being to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I've gone right off when I was going to speak, and I keep looking at Dave's lovely shirt, and then I looked at mine and I thought, we got two tea towels here for hire. I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from, but the Lord knows. They're not clashing, but wonderful one another, isn't it? The other thing is, I thought, the Lord waits for us. Chris was just out the room, we'd broken bread, and he came in, he said, "I was out the room," and there's something wonderful about communion, that he just waits for us, and we waited for Chris. Just a lovely, lovely moment. You know, the Lord's here. He's looking on, he's walking the aisles, he's up and down. His Spirit's here wanting to move again in our hearts. 2-3 weeks ago, someone at the prayer meeting on that Thursday night said, "Lord, let us go up another gear in our prayer life." Linda, thank you. Wonderful. He wants us to almost just go up that extra gear. Praise the Lord. I've been looking in Ephesians, and if you've got your Bible, Please just turn with me to Ephesians. I've so enjoyed and benefited from a structure of reading a book, and in some ways just really going through it, kind of methodically, but also just allowing it to be alive in me and in going to work, in being with family. That's the incredible thing about Scripture. It can become alive and applied to what we actually do. Not just a knowledge of being able to just to quote things. My first week I was here, I was talking about muscles, ligaments, and really talking about the body, the church, and us being knit together. It's been expressed this morning. Communion is an incredible gateway to communion with our Saviour and also with one another. Incredible. If you've got a problem with another brother or sister here, then read about taking communion. It's really quite straight. And each time that I do have it, I trust I have nothing against a brother or a sister. You know, that can be easily overlooked. And I've just been thinking a lot about the body and how we all are muscles, ligaments, we're all knit together. We're all very different. I had Dave Vine do a little demonstration of his jaw and moving around in the exercise of a muscle. And I looked into the origin of a muscle from the bone and also the insertion, where it's going to. The body is going somewhere. We are going to a place, a destination. Then I talk about function. We all have a function. It's good to recognise other people's functions, but it's also good to handle your function lightly. We can often say, well, I know that I'm really good at this, and I believe God's given me this thing that I must use wherever I am, whatever setting. Hold it very lightly. We're to function and just serve. That's a great foundation. Function, just serve. Be loving. Loving, kind words, serve, listen. Then I mentioned about a nerve supply, the supply being the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then I went on and I got towards the armour of God. And I love this bit because I like military things. I like anything that, as a boy, you could have rough and tumble and you could fight and get dirty and all the kind of... I loved it. I loved the picture of the soldier. I loved the armour. And I went through the different scenarios of the armour. The belt, sort of foundation place where lots of things hang from. The belt of truth. The breastplate, this beautiful metal breastplate of righteousness that protects the vital organs. Then I talked about the shoes. And in particular, something that really spoke to me was these stone cleats that the Romans used to have on their shoes, their sandals. They used to dig it into the ground, ready for attack, or ready to hold their ground. And they used to just get that stability there. I loved it. Great picture of the church and how we're meant to be today. And individuals as well. Stand your ground on things. And above all, stand. And if you don't have that opportunity to do that, just go into the world. It's there. Media, work, what you get tested on, truth, you have to stand your ground. I talked about the shield, this big old shield that once I made here on a Sunday night thing, talking about faith. Big shield, it's like a door. Maybe a bit smaller than that there, but anyway, it was heavy. It was heavy, locked into here, shield here. You should protect, and faith, protect your mind and all the things like that. And your shoes as well. Helmet of salvation. And I think last time I said this maybe more for Sunday school, but in actual fact, it is applicable now. And I was thinking about all these things, the sword for both defence and offence, to be both, you know, you defend the word, but also you've got to say it sometimes. It could be that person on that bus journey. It could be the person in your college class. It could be a family member. Sometimes you have to have this word that's just ritually in you and abides in you, that just comes out just at the right time. Seasoned with grace. Important. Seasoned with grace. Grace that where you've actually lived it out, you know how it works. You're so thankful for the Lord's grace that the words come out and they're seasoned. And then the person that hears them, it makes something go into their heart and they think about what you've just said through the work of the Spirit. Jesus used the word against Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Do you remember when he was tempted? I mentioned about that he actually then quoted the Old Testament to Satan. Get behind me. You know, and he said it. Satan then disappeared. We need to have that dwelling in us. I was thinking about church history. I'm not an expert on church history. But I wondered about, of all the armour that's on this soldier, has there been significant times in church history where Satan is after certain parts of the armour? And I thought, at this time and this place now, maybe in the West, he's after this belt. He's after this truth. He's after trying to defame Scripture. This is not just in the world and media and all the... It's crept into church. It's the loss and relevance of Scripture. And if you go through church history, there'd be other people that could... I wonder if you could actually just see that Satan works in specific ways to actually go after certain things in a church. Is there times, I wonder now if it's this belt. He's after the truth, and churches will use scripture in some ways to mould and shape in their own way and leave off certain other bits that they can just use as an argument. It is so dangerous. I had a week in Quinta, and when you actually camp with people, which is a wonderful thing, you end up just having heart fellowship with them. And people's concerns and problems that they go through come out, and it's wonderful, you can encourage one another. One of the things that really spoke to me in the week at Quinta was how far the church is possibly becoming removed from Scripture. Maybe becoming so amazingly organised at events and what we do and how we present ourselves to the people outside, and they're losing this, the essence of this here. Satan loves it. Last time I spoke, I talked about the wiles of the devil. Try and understand what are the wiles of the devil. Some of the things, the wiles of the devil, I wrote down in my notes here. He is the biggest fraudster that you can think of. The devil is a slanderer. One who utters false charges. One who misrepresents another's reputation. He's the sworn enemy of the church. That's you, that's me. He's the accuser of the brethren, it says in Revelation. Chapter 12, verse 10. And at the end of that, I said that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. He is an accuser. He's after reputations. And in particular, I would say, he's probably after people that maybe are in a position. Because what he'll do then, he'll go for someone in position, and then the flock and the sheep will just be scattered. You don't have to be far and look into news very much, but he's after them. I'd value prayer. One thing that I'd like to speak about this morning, which is my main thing, is prayer. Last time I spoke all about the armour. And if you just turn with me into Ephesians chapter 6, I just want to come to such an important part. Now I'm just going to see if my little PowerPoint works, if that's okay. I've just got a couple quotes. But this morning I really want to talk about the importance of prayer. I asked my boys in the car and their friend the other Sunday, and I said to them, "So what's prayer, boys?" And there wasn't even a pause. But one straight away got in and said, "It's talking with God." Oh, and it just... I wasn't looking for any kind of huge definition of a lot. It is simply... It's wonderful. Have you prayed this morning? Have you prayed in your heart this morning? I sat there quite a few times this morning just praying, talking with him. He loves it. Did you pray when you woke up this morning? The more you read of men of old, men and women of old, is that they actually spent some time on their knees praying. When they woke up, can I just use this one, or is it? Excuse that one. It's very true, isn't it? Again, sorry, a bit corny. This is true. If an army advances on its stomach, a church advances on its knees. Something from this scripture, which I'll read in a minute, gives such an importance to prayer. If your prayers were always answered, you'd have a reason to doubt the wisdom of God. That's very true. In actual fact, it's one of the questions that I've been, just in my own time, thinking about unanswered prayer. Is there unanswered prayer? To those that love the Lord, I'll leave that with you, because I think we often want an instant answer. And when we don't get that, we think he's not answered. But he has answered. And it's all to come. Do you know what I mean? Keep praying in order to get a perfect understanding of God himself. Oswald Chambers. Here we go. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, work, Christian activity. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Isn't that true? The church is very organized. There are so many programs and so many things but losing the essence of prayer, I believe, loses the heart of communion. At Quinter the other week, Les Wilden was speaking, and he talked just a little bit about prayer from Matthew 6, and he said that prayer is not about commissions, it's about communion. And that really spoke to me. What is happening when we pray? Let me just read these scriptures. If you're in Ephesians chapter 6, talked about the armour of God. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Key verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. One of the elements that I would add to this armour of God is prayer. What is prayer? It is talking, it's communicating with God. Supplication. This is about request and petition. And I thought about the armour of God. Each section of armour that you put on, it should be bathed in prayer. This prayer that really energises us, it enables us and it directs us. And as a young lad growing up, I wasn't aware probably that there were prayer meetings until I spoke to the church leader about baptism, and I said I really feel it's on my heart to I'd like to be baptised. And we talked and the like, and then after our conversation he said, you know, it'd be really, really good to see you join with us on a prayer meeting. And I was just a bit wet behind the ears, wasn't sure. You know, I prayed in my bedroom, I prayed usually when I was in trouble, which is another thing that people do when you get to your wit's end. But I went to the prayer meeting, and there was something in it that I actually felt of a thing of learning how to pray. I could hear other people pray, and I remember looking at their body language, and I remember thinking that there's a couple guys that when they pray, they used to go up on their tiptoes and just bounce a little bit like this. And I thought, is that the spiritual prayer? Is it going to get faster there and higher? And there was this kind of, and then sometimes there's the hands, and you know, this kind of, it's just me, and I study body language. I'm very sorry, but there are things when you're a young lad that you're growing up. Then there was the vocabulary. How do we say certain prayers? There was the these, the thous, thus, the kind of an old. I used to think this language is just a. Even before I start, it can kind of, you can feel a bit like. And then often there was the list of things that we were praying for. There was the don't take this wrong way. There was the broken hip. So, and then you have this list of, which is good to pray for. I understand that. But before I even started, in a way, just communicating with my Father, I felt a heaviness. And what the Lord wants to do is to, in some ways, bring a growth of prayer, I believe, here and in my life, that really is just a continuous flow from when you wake up in the morning. Because if you don't, this wicked one, he will come straight in there. He'll plant a thought. He'll bring an image. He'll bring a reminder of a hurt from past. Praying is a wonderful thing. I love it. I realise that it's probably the thing that in some ways binds you closer to the Lord Jesus than many, many other things. You know that when you pray this morning, when I've heard the prayers this morning, there's something of an automatic amen that rises up. That's the Spirit. Just saying, yes, check, amen. I wrote something down just to describe just my thoughts on it. Praying, not with long and eloquent words with horizontal notions, but in the Spirit, vertically communicating with our Father, accompanied by the amens of the saints. Is that true? That's what he wants. He wants this. Prayer, such an important thing of our weaponry. I think I was challenged the other week at the prayer meet when they said, can we just go up another gear? Up another level. Pray for the heart that you know that's broken. Pray for the person that you know that doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus. You can pray. Intercessory prayer. I mean, it's a long word. And look it up, see what it means. Just standing there on behalf and getting involved in something. It's wonderful. Young people, pray early. Learn to pray early. Learn to do it in the closet. Learn to do it in secret. Learn to do it early. Just go with me into Acts chapter 19. I want to give just a little illustration. Really of just the power of the Lord Jesus' name, and we're exalted to pray in his name. And there's an interesting story in Acts, the sons of Sceva. Acts chapter 19. And it says this, let me just read this to you. This was at a time when there were many miracles by Paul. In particular, there was the handkerchief of healing, or his apron, and people would. I mean, I find it just amazing. You know, the Lord works in amazing ways, doesn't he? The danger is that we can then try and replicate it. I'm not sure if I saw it somewhere, but people were selling handkerchiefs of healing to certain. You can go off on such a tangent. The amazing truth at the time was the Lord was moving at that time in Paul's life. And there was an unconsciousness almost of Paul, because I was thinking about the job he was doing at the time was tent making. He was grafting. He was working and he was sweating. He was paying for things. And I thought, out of that hard work, the grafting, the doing the normal things of life, actually the Lord used that as an amazing healer for people. Can you go with me on that a little bit? The hard work, someone just consciously getting on with the normal, ordinary things in life. And then the Lord used Paul's apron that he used to probably wipe his brow down with, and a handkerchief for working hard in the heat of the day. Someone then picks it up and it goes in faith from someone to go and pick it up. Can you see what I'm saying? In the ordinary, the sweat and hard work of life, the Lord can bring healing. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also there were seven sons of Sceva and Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. Interestingly linked with Ephesus, what I'm in. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When I read this, I thought, prayer is about relational activity with your Saviour. There is no point in using someone's name in a situation when you don't have that relational with the Lord Jesus, the Saviour. What happens if you do? Well, the illustration here is that these guys basically, which is a huge humiliation to Jewish in particular, but naked they came running out, there would have been blood, they were wounded. And it really interests me that you can't, I'm linking it with prayer, but there's something that the Lord has, this amazing intimacy with prayer and communion, that when we've got a model prayer in chapter 6 where it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Interesting that is the beginning of the prayer. Firstly, you have to understand that he is holy, and he's seated on the throne, he's there interceding, and he's in charge, he has all the authority. You can't just come in at a level in some ways where you're just going to use his name in this situation. The Lord wants us to foster more and more of a prayer and a communion with him that can then be flooded out into situations that we're involved in. Isn't that wonderful? It's an illustration that sons of Sceva, I mean, if you were there, one thing is you would say that by the end of it, the Lord had his way and that the Lord's name was magnified. You know what the wicked one was after there? He was after something where the Lord's name would have been used in vain, and there would have been hurt from it. There would have been disillusionment. You can become disillusioned sometimes in prayer when you don't get your answer that you want. But have this in your heart to start with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a place to start. Prayer must begin in a state of dependence and submission to Christ. Matthew 11. Prayer must begin in his name. What a wonderful name. What is prayer? To beseech, to wish, to desire, to call on one's aid. Primarily it's a wanting, a need. Do I stand here this morning as an expert in prayer? No, I don't. But I would say I talk to him a lot. I talk with him so much. I think that when you go through certain scenarios and situations in your life, when the squeezing comes in of pressure, of situations that hurt, it does throw you upon him even more. I thought about the Lord in the garden, and actually I read quite a few times the amount of time that he knew what was going to happen, but yet he still prayed to his Father. Same with Elijah in the rain, you know, that he knew that God was going to... But in some ways, he still continued in prayer. And we must do the same. Can I read this? This is my daily reading. Just from, it's quite a bit, but I think it's important. From Oswald Chambers. Prayer is not a normal part of the life of the natural man. We hear it said that a person's life will suffer if he doesn't pray, but I question that. What will suffer is the life of the Son of God in him, which is nourished not by food, but by prayer. When a person is born again from above, the life of the Son of God is born in him, and he can either starve or nourish that life. Prayer is the way that the life of God in us is nourished. Our common ideas regarding prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer simply as means of getting things ourselves. But the biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. Isn't that true? How do you talk to him? I did a little self-examination of my praying and talking with the Lord. You may think that's strange, but I thought, how do I pray to him, my Saviour? And two words that come into my, when I pray, my first two words often is, oh Lord. Oh Lord. Not an oh Lord of surprise. Not an oh Lord of, I'm up here. I'm ready to be used. It's an oh Lord of, Lord, you're holy. Here I am, wholly available. How do you pray? It's an incredible thing, I think, to start at a level of knowing what you've come from, such dire sin in a dark place. But how, once you said those two words, when I say those two words, oh Lord, he then just floods something in, which then just lifts me up to a place where he's with me, talking with me. What's the most interesting part about prayer is listening. We can arrive at a place of prayer and you open your mouth and it's, can you do this, that, this, that, at this time? And then fit this into that and then that into, and then I'll be okay for a bit. And then I want to come back again and pray and so I can get this, that and that fit. You know what he wants? He just wants us to come on a level of, oh Lord. When I don't know what to pray for situations, and I get that sometimes if I'm asked to pray for someone, there's a reliance, there has to be reliance on the Holy Spirit just to bring an utterance. There's that scripture. Just turn with me in Romans 8. This is when you just cannot find the words. And if you're like me, often you want sometimes to say a long and eloquent prayer, but what comes out is something of a child, and the Lord loves it. He loves it. It says here, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, if you struggle with prayer, he's given us and equipped us and sent, and he throws it out to us, the wonderful work of the Spirit that helps in our prayer life. And I've been sat there sometimes on my own in my closet. Sometimes on a Thursday evening when there's that extra joy of meeting with others, where you join together and you can say amens to one another's prayers. And you can be reminded of praying for someone that you're not even aware of. You can also come and say, do you know what, the Lord healed that person. Or the Lord really mended that person. And you can come with a heart of thanksgiving. But there are some times when I don't know what to pray. And do you know what, I think the Lord uses that. Do you know what I enjoyed earlier on this morning? On joy is not the right part. I benefited earlier on just those moments of silence. When you just sit there or you stand, and in that silence there is just a wonderful connection with the Lord. I think it was Mother Teresa that said about her prayer life, what's the most important aspect of it? And she said, listening. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, we're going to have a week of prayer in October. The challenge is, are we listening? How do you listen? How do I listen? And one of the things is that the Spirit, when you pray and you start this communication with our wonderful Lord Jesus, is that he just whispers security to you. He whispers something of that you're doing okay. You're okay. This is just for me personally at the moment. If you read the book, The Love Languages, one of my things is words of affirmation. Has anyone read the Love Languages? Wonderful book. I recommend it. And one of the things is, I need words of affirmation. Don't be saying it now. You don't need to. And don't after. You can have a go at me after if you want. But you know, prayer does. It whispers words of affirmation. When I sit there, if I'm at home, if I'm in a meeting, there's something about prayer that where you just find those things of, you're doing okay, son. One of the hardest things, I was chatting to Andrew Carter at Quinter, and he said one of the biggest hurdles for many people in the church is they don't know that they're loved. Yeah, that's a huge thing. If that's not the starting block and a foundation, we heard of a foundation earlier on in that prayer, if that's not a foundation block for us, that you know you're loved. We heard it from the children, didn't we? You can put yourself down. So that's where the faith, the shield has to come up. The mind games. The devil so wants you to think that you're absolutely, in some ways, pretty hopeless. I don't see that when I look around. I see it that the Lord is using people. And in particular, I thought about us as a body, the Lord's group here, is that they're a praying church. I did a little bit then I went into thinking about what would I have on my gravestone engraved in the anyway, he was a decent family man that loved the Lord. Is that okay? But I actually thought then about what would be on the headstone of your church. And I thought, it's a praying church. It's on the deeds out there in the thing, isn't it? A house of prayer, isn't it? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Many places are incredible at organising things and functions and meetings. Prayer, I'm saying it to myself, prayer is essential. Precious Lord, I want to go to another place, if that's okay, in Jude. Just into Jude, verse 18. I'll just finish here. This really is, this morning, really, just in some ways, just that it's not me plugging, in a way, prayer meeting, and it's not that, although it's an incredible thing, and it is, I'm always blessed after it. What I'm saying is, prayer life in particular is essential. It's essential with all the weapons, the armour, the shield. Let it be soaked in. I thought about Roman soldiers, how they used to look after their armour. And in particular, one of the ingredients that they used was oil. And they used to put it into the shield, make it, keep it subtle. And there's a wonderful thing there, that prayer is almost, with the Spirit, is the oil that keeps our weapons ready for action. Praying in the Spirit. Jude, it says this, verse 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. who would walk according to the ungodly lusts, their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I thought there, what a difference with the natural man in the world. The sensuality, in particular these days, is absolutely rife. What a contrast is that the actual importance of prayer and praying in the Holy Spirit actually keeps this wonderful, clean and pure heart. Isn't that true? And I heard a little image of reading scripture that's always stayed with me, but you can read scripture and then it can feel like you're reading it and not really understanding it, and you can picture it like a sieve, pouring water into the sieve, and the sieve, the water's just draining out, and you're not really... Same with prayer, often sometimes you feel, oh, it's not really going anywhere, no answers. But one thing is, the sieve is being kept clean. As the water's being poured, it's just being kept clean. One of the things about prayer is, wonderful thing, can I recommend it? It just keeps this thing clean. Keeps your thoughts pure. Keeps your heart on track. Brings direction. And here the great opposite is sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. I'm really exercised with prayer. And I wanted this morning, 20 past, I'd like us just to be able to, as a body in the church of the Lord Jesus, I'd like us just all to pray. And then I was thinking, what can I ask them to pray for? And I thought, well, you know what? I could go around all of you individually and you could have just this thing that's just on your heart that you want prayer for. And I thought, what a wonderful thing this morning is that we could all pray. The danger with prayer is that it can be, when you mention the word prayer, it can be put in this box and it can be compartmentalised, and it's, I will bring that down for when we're in a real struggle. I will bring that down when we meet together on a certain... I will bring that down when I am totally at my wit's end. Pray always. I don't know about you, but I pray in my car on the way to work. And I mean, I pray in the car. It's not just a thinking and a... Lord. Oh Lord. What a place to start with in your prayer. Oh Lord. Here I am. And I wondered this morning if there's anything... Anything that's in your heart this morning that you want prayer for, we could all just pray. You don't always need to say all the details, because the Lord knows the finer details. But this morning, if you want something of prayer, then we can do it as the Lord's body here. You know that it strengthens one another. When I asked for prayer, when I had my stomach condition, I asked the elders in Exeter, would they pray for me? And they prayed for me and they anointed me, my head with oil. And they prayed. And then there was a young lad, a teenager, who used to come playing football with me. Never heard him pray before in his life. In the meeting. Prayed, Lord, would you make Mark better? And there was something in his prayer that almost made me instantly feel like, oh, I feel better. And then I went a little bit. But there was something in that, you know, that we can join together in our prayer this morning. You can pray for the most impossible situation, but know this, that the Lord's timing and his answer is in his heart, and it's to be worked out. My challenge this morning is, if you want prayer, can we just stand? Should we pray? The one thing about prayer is that we often think that it can come out loudly, and it does. Something that when we do it, it can encourage, it speaks. There's the incredible prayer that just stays quietly. But this morning I really just value, why don't we pray? I thought, even the direction of us as a group, as the Lord's body, Lord, have us, have your way in our lives. Maybe for the dire situation at work, thinking of someone now, Lord, intervene in his life. He calls us this morning to be intercessors, and that's standing on behalf of someone maybe that's so weak. Let's just pray, open your heart to him. Ask him. One of the things that is just so, he says, ask.